That's true. They were there quite a bit, but they're exposing mosquitoes, rats, and everything, and it's not
but
good.
Somebody out there who lives out there is responsible for them. You see, this is why I said we really got to understand sometimes how we get here, because if we don't understand why the problem was caused, we will not take measures. We will put measures in place to deal with the problem, to make sure to deal with that situation, to make sure it doesn't happen again. Now, it is easy to get the government, to get some government apparatus to come in, take it away, take away the vehicles and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But what is being done to address that situation? That is what we have to also focus on. Because those persons who put those vehicles there initially, they must be held accountable for what they did. Because it's now gonna cost taxpayers money to remove those vehicles. And likewise with the bush all over the place.
You
pass certain areas and you see bush. On somebody's land.
No, this is National Housing land.
That's National Housing. But National Housing is responsible for that. But does anyone call National Housing and make them miserable and let them know what the position is?
I'm calling now. I've called.
All right, my dear. I hope you get the point of what I'm trying to say. I hope everybody understands what I'm really trying to say. These things aren't good enough. You know, I often wonder when you have places like National Housing that are responsible for certain areas, if they don't have a roster of clean, you know, a schedule when certain places would be clean. You know, it's like getting a haircut. This is like speaking of as a man getting a haircut on your hair, on your head. You know, if you know you get your hair cut at the beginning of the month, you may decide you're getting a haircut in the middle of the month. So every 2 weeks you get a haircut, or every 4 weeks. So therefore, if you have X amount of workers who are supposed to be doing maintenance of the national housing estates, for example, if they clean up if they're going to cut the grass in January, they will know they're going to come back by February to do something, because the grass would have grown up by then, you know. They're not these schedules in place, you know.
Grass is in Factory Avenue.
Factory Avenue and Field Road.
Right.
Okay, Field I got you.
And Factory Avenue has the cars, and Rockcliffe has cars, and grass needs cutting.
Yeah. All right, my dear.
There are three sections that need cleaning up.
All right, my dear. Thank you very much for calling. This on the WhatsApp, this person is saying West Terrace Gardens has not had its garbage collected for over 3 weeks. I went to put in a bag and a rat jumped out. Well, that would happen if the garbage piles up there after a little while. You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Price.
How are you today?
Not too bad. I haven't spoken to you for a little while.
That is true.
A little bit about victimless crime. It's still a crime, and it is determined to be punished. And when you are punished, you have to be taken care of. But I never knew about any negotiating authority that a prisoner has to negotiate if he could cut his time and come out and help clean up and thing. You ever heard about that?
No, she was suggesting that is something that should be looked at.
What do you think?
Well, the thing about it is that all ideas should really be allowed to one could look at a number of these ideas. My understanding some time ago was that because of the manpower shortage and transportation shortage that the prison was facing, that they could not afford to have even too many prisoners who are in short term out in the field doing anything. Because, you know, whenever prisoners go out in the field to do anything, they must be supervised by guards. But if you have a manpower shortage in the first place, then you just don't have the resources to allocate that. So it is something to look at. It's an idea. I think it has merit. But I also I also feel that we need to take a holistic look at what we're doing in terms of incarcerating people. And her point as well about just putting people in prison for a spliff, I personally have problems with that, you know, and I've had problems with that for years. But the whole point is that we, you know, you're criminalizing people. And I think that is just wrong. I've heard the government, well, this present government, they were campaigning, they've made the point that this is something that needs to be looked at. It will be looked at in an overall concept in looking at how you deal with marijuana and or cannabis, how you will deal with the whole issue of whether you should legalize it or decriminalize it. But that's fine. But the whole thing about it is there's some things I think that are just wrong. But at the same time, having said that, we have got to look at the health, some of the health problems that occur when people use these recreational drugs.
Yeah,
we also have to look. You also have to look at that too, because if you remember in Jamaica, where there is a level of decriminalization, the chief medical officer came up a few months later to talk about some of the things that they were seeing there, some of the adverse effects on people that they were seeing there. So I don't know how comprehensive that study was and whatnot, because it was just a news article in the Gleaner. But the whole thing about it is that it's an issue that has to be examined, and it needs to be, because my main concern is how a lot of young people, young men in particular, are being, you give them a criminal record, and once you get that criminal record for illegal substances, it stays with you for several years.
Yeah, but at the same time, when you look at the criminal record, you look at what this substance may do to the person a long term, and then you have to have room at the psychiatric hospital and these other institutions, and nurses and doctors and medicine. Oh, you got to look at it from that point of view too. What do you think about that?
And some people would dispute that with you. I'm very serious. Some people would and some doctors would dispute that with you.
You know, then you got to get clean up and done all this type of thing. And you got to go somewhere and get it done by a nurse or something.
Yeah.
So you got to look for some money now, there and then. Mm-hmm. So it's better to incarcerate them. You don't have to give them a criminal record, but carry them where they can get away from using it for a little while. And every time that you're caught with it, you know, you put your away so you cannot use it. That's all.
And so you also got to look, if you want people to stop using marijuana, it's much deeper than that, because it's totally pervasive. And for most people, at a certain level now, it's not even considered to be something. They don't consider anything to be wrong with using marijuana. It's just par for the course. They'll tell you it's better than cigarettes. It doesn't have all the, it's more natural than cigarettes. Anyhow, so we have got to run. I love to continue this conversation, but we've got to go. We have to take a commercial break. Welcome back to Brass Tacks. This is Sanka Price along with Dennis Johnson. 4341790 is the number. You can contact us. And of course, you can reach us at WhatsApp at 266-4862. On to the Raps WhatsApp. This person is saying that they live at Factory Avenue for over 30 years. And there are no derelict cars there. So what the lady was speaking about was in Field Road and not Factory Avenue. And this person proudly says their car park is available to the residents who live around there. Kudos to you. But as I said there, you know, the persons who live in the area where the cars are, some of those people would be responsible, are more than likely responsible for those derelict cars being there. They should be held accountable for that and be made to move them. And if government, whatever department of government moves that vehicle, they should have to pay the bill. People in this country need to understand they just can't just park a car and leave it there and walk away. No, it doesn't work like that. And we, people are allowed to get away with this. And that's why, it continues and continues. It must stop. And if they get hit in their pocket, they will know that there is a cost involved. Welcome to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you today?
Well, I am thankful to God for life. but
that's a good thing.
No, a lot of trials, I can see. I have 3 complaints.
Go right ahead.
My first one. First, let me congratulate Mr. Johnson. I met him on Saturday and at his son's graduation. So, Mr. Johnson, God bless you. You did a good job. And I hope your son continue, and God bless him in all his endeavors. It was a pleasure. I met him before, but we didn't speak, but I had the pleasure of speaking to Mr. Johnson on Saturday.
He smiles and nods in acknowledgement.
Any parent would be proud. I had the honor of my friend from St. Vincent. She came out of her son, graduated with honors too, and she invited me. So I felt, you know, very proud. We aren't family, but we are close almost, because they're like family. So I know him from a baby, and I was so happy, you know, to be there to witness his graduation also. But my concern is for about the past 4 years, I've been getting brown water coming from my place. Sometimes very, very, very brown.
Where is this?
I live in Biking Hall, that's that. I've talked about it, spoke to Mr. Hayes, the African gentleman that was there. Can't remember his name. He was there at
Mwanza.
The time.
In Mwanza.
Yes, and they say I was living in the back, and it's because of that. But I still getting it. They were supposed to every time to come and wash do something with the hydrant, but they came once and never again.
Mm.
I have to get my water from my neighbor. Sometimes it's so brown I cannot even use it to get a bath. And I pay $84 and change for water now.
Mm.
And I would like them, if it is the pipe that needs changing, I would like to do it, because it's unfair to me to be paying $84 when the month comes. And I can't really use my wood. They're flushing in the toilet, my toilet bowl and tank is white and the turning brown. All of that, I got to be using bleach and everything to be cleaning that when the day come.
It is
hard on me. My other 2 points is...
Well, before you go on, just make sure when you finish to call Ms. Haig, but I've taken note...
I spoke to Ms. Haig on several occasions, sir.
Right, well... She monitors the program, but I would make sure to try to contact her to get her to go to you. Not get her to go to you, but get something done about that, that mail in the area.
It's too long.
It is.
And I didn't mind the $30-something that I was paying, but now $84 is too much for me, and I ain't getting no good service. I got to go by my neighbor. It's a good thing that we live a certain way, that they give me water to use. To cook and different things with.
Understood.
Sometimes even when it clear, I catch water and I put it down. When I look at it, when it's settled, it's still brown, so I still can use it to drink or to cook with.
All right.
And it ain't fair to me. Okay. Anyway, there's 2 neighbors I have. I've been talking to the health inspector. I guess they just listen and don't. They have one for he moved out here about 12 years or so now. And he's been running water in the pathway where I have to walk. I had a problem, and my granddaughter too. We had to go to the pharmacist to get something for our toys. I like to pick up a gem from the water in my toenails. And every time they came and they warned him more than once.
Why is he running the water? He has livestock or something?
He ain't got no livestock.
So where is he running the water? He has a garden?
He's saying nothing. He just running the water. I asked him to build a bigger stock away. He was saying that it's coming from off a roof of a neighbor's house. I take pictures, went outside, dry, no rain, no nothing. And you could hear the pipe running and the water coming down. And sometimes some dirty, bad-smelling water. I don't know what it is that he's doing inside the house. And we have to walk in that. The rain is falling, and still all outside mossy because of the water. He run out every day.
Okay.
It seems like I know if I've been a problem to the health inspector, I call in and nothing is happening. I live in the back, so I'm behind somebody's yard. There's an empty spot here. And I have to call them all the time to beg the persons to clean it. And the rodents are going to be baiting all the time. I got bitten by a thing, and I had to spend 3 days going to the hospital, going and coming with a bite from a centipede. And I keep asking them, I keep the, I don't know if the health inspector just go or if the frightened for them or whatever. The grass now up to the paling. And all out here full of grass. And nothing they doing. And they could see in the back of the kitchen, in the back, they could see the back of out here, and they ain't doing nothing about it. So then when I see the trees that I know that will get out of hand growing, I will go and cut them down. When I am not so well, when I was good, I would go there and I would try to spray to keep it down, but I can't do that now.
Mm.
And it is all fair. There are people that work there are people that working in there, mm-hmm. that they could get somebody or come and spray, but they ain't doing nothing about it. And it hurt you. You will know how tall it is then. Mm-hmm. It's more than 7 feet up in the air, the grass.
Well. Well, I would suggest you really continue calling the environmental.
Well, when I call, all they're telling me is that, okay, we are looking to it. And the more that every time I look out, the grass getting taller and taller.
Mm-hmm.
The gentleman's still running the water. So I become a pest or a nuisance for my right.
Well, as I keep saying, people here need to do their jobs. Thank you very much for your call, and I sincerely hope that that issue can be resolved as soon as possible. And those who are responsible, like the environmental health and whatnot, people who complain about these things, they're not nuisances. They have a right. They're paying their taxes, or they would have contributed to paying the taxes, and they have certain rights. And your job, quite frankly, is to ensure that the place is kept clean, because... I know what it's like to have a whole set of bush all in front of you or derelict cars and whatnot. It's very unpleasant and it's very uncomfortable, especially with the amount of criminal activity we have these days. So, you know, I know that you are under pressure in your own way. You have very little resources to work with, but at least if sometimes you could talk to some people, you'd be amazed how much that alone helps. We take another call. Good afternoon.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon to you.
Yeah, good afternoon. Yes, sir. I want to make a few contributions.
Go right ahead.
My concern in Barbados now is that I want to make some suggestions too, because I'm not only going to complain. I don't offer any suggestions. I remember in the last administration, when people went home, when people got laid off, there was some sadness. Some even had to get treatment from the mental. And we're finding out, I'm hearing now, in this layoff sections, where people breaking down in the workplace and crying uncontrollable and that type of stuff. I think the slogan of this administration is that the Prime Minister cares. And I think that captured the hearts of every Barbadian. Because the notion was nobody in the Democratic Labour Party had cared. And that gives them a resounding victory. And a suggestion I want to make is let's say you're laying off people in the statutory board. You have the amount of letters. Can they have a counselor on hand? And can they do it in a more human way? So that it won't be that amount of crying and that type of stuff and the whole aspects of the layoff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still trying to find out, where are the unions? What is the role of the unions that march against the Democratic Labour Party? What are they doing now? Now, I'm also saying too that we know that there are going to be layoffs. Right, a suggestion that I want to put to this administration is that you can, in the statutory board, if you're going to send home 20 people in the statutory board, can you reduce it to these people to 3 days a week? Let's say there's some people who work 5 days a week. Can you reduce them to 3 days instead of sending them home? What do you think? Hello?
Yeah.
What do you think?
About reducing it to 3 days a week?
No, a 5 day a week person.
Mm-hmm.
I tell the MTW then. People that who
you know that you're effectively cutting a person's salary.
Yes.
When you have 3 days a week as against 5 days a week.
Yeah, but you're about to send him home.
Mm-hmm.
Lay him off then. But so, instead of laying him off, you let him work.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of working 5 days,
mm-hmm.
he works 3 days.
All right. Sir,
so you reduce it. Yes, sir.
Go ahead. I understand the point that you're making, so I'm not trying to cut you off because the time is sticking away. The thing about it is this. Do you understand why this whole restructuring is taking place?
Yes.
You have two. The real thing here is that you're trying to re-engineer the whole public service. You want to try to do things differently in the sense that you're trying to make it much more efficient and leaner and fit for purpose. That is what they're trying to do. There's certain positions that are being made redundant. So, and because you don't need as many people. The reality is that the public service has a lot of people that you in it. I mean, it's padded. That is one of the problems. That is something that has been long recognized.
Yes.
Okay. Again, the question they ask, how did we get here? That's why I go back to it. And if we don't learn the lesson that we need to change the way we do business, then we'll end back up here. Okay. On Sunday, I read from a speech that the former Prime Minister Frondell Stewart made in March 2014, where he made the point that in 2001, the public service was then 26,000 and mm-hmm. the recommendation should have been cut by 10,000. At that time, they were paying 36 cents, because I don't have it in front of me. I think it's 36 cents out of every dollar towards the salaries. Then by that time, 2014, it had moved to 54 cents. The AFTA administration did very little in terms of controlling the size of this public service. So did the last administration.
Yes, sir.
Okay. The point I'm making here is that we have got to deal with this situation, and we've got to deal with it clinically. And we've got to re-engineer the way we do things, so we have to be more efficient in what we do to deliver services, quality services to our public. And the thing about it is well, you don't want anybody to go home. The fact about it is that there will be casualties.
Yes,
if you recall, the governor, the former governor of the central bank, Dr. Delisle World, was talking about 4,500 people. Because the recognition is you have got to do this. And, you know, and nobody wants it to be them. And they don't think they deserve it. And then they find all sorts of reasons. But the real reason is that this thing has been going on for too long. All governments have done this. They've padded the civil service. We now have to re-engineer and right fit this thing. We do have to do this. Unfortunately.
Another question to you. When the government gives the 5% increase or 4% increase
mm-hmm.
to civil servants,
mm-hmm.
I think the minister asked that the union, the people in business then, the private people do the same thing. Is there any knowledge that you have that the private people raise the salaries?
One is oranges and one is apples. What happened in the private sector? They got nothing to do with public service.
Yeah,
look,
sir. Hold on, Mr. Price.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget that the manufacturers and those march with the unions.
But that was a particular issue.
If the government give increase the salary, I expect the people who are working out there in the supermarkets and the gas stations should also give an increase too.
Well, that's what you expect. That's what you expect.
You don't think so?
Not necessarily. And even if they give an increase, do they give it at 5%? If a company can afford to give 10%, they should give 10.
Yes,
you know, sir, and if they can't afford to give an increase, they don't give an increase.
And with the garbage that is out of control, if I understand the minister, like, you don't have many trucks. A suggestion is, if, you know, where you live, and the garbage truck can't get to me, and my garbage is piling up. Can I not be asked to keep my garbage inside until the truck will be available to me? And then, if you got 20 trucks in the island, can we not, let's say we use 10 trucks in St. Philip and 10 in Christchurch. For that morning, for that period, we clean up the whole of that area. And then we ask those people to keep their garbage inside. And then we do another area. You don't think that will work? Instead of having it all about the place, sir?
Yes and no. Yes, because that would be the ideal thing. I see what you're saying, and that would be the ideal thing. Mm-hmm. But in a very practical sense, people mm-hmm. have different schedules, work schedules, school schedules, whatever it is, so that it is not always easy for everybody to put things, to keep things in their house and just wait for the truck to come by. All right, and then there's also the whole problem of room, where you're going to keep all this stuff on some residences. So the main thing is to be able to have a reliable service, a reliable schedule service, so that everyone knows when the garbage will be collected, what particular day, so that they can rely on that. Anyhow, the theme is going. Thank you very much for your call. Thank you for being a lovely audience, and God willing, I should be back here on Sunday, and I hope to have another robust discussion with all of you back then. Take good care. Bye.